I welcomed elected mayors when they were proposed, because I had been so impressed, and I saw it at first hand, by what Giuliani had been doing in New York. And I thought, if you can put more power into the hands of elected mayors, they will have to deliver what the people want. I've been a bit disillusioned with that, because in practice that hasn't worked out. In practice, actually, the powers aren't as great as they might be. But the accountability sometimes isn't as great as it might be either, which I think is part of the issue here.
Accountability brings us perfectly on to our next item, which is an interview I did earlier this week with freelance journalist Joanna Booth. She lives down in Hot Wells, and she's extremely concerned about developments which are taking place, at least supposed to be taking place, something called, the name of her part of the city is being changed to Western Harbour. Before we hear from Joanna, though, Jeff, maybe you can fill us in. What stage is this development at? Because we've seen pictures in the local newspapers of high-rise blocks going up around that part of the city, and yet local people are being kept in the dark about what's happening.
Well, this is a classic example of mayoral responsibility, if you like. The mayor has announced that a very large development is going into that area with many thousands of new units, with a change to the road system. And there is meant to be a consultation about to happen. And I think it's just been launched. But I don't know how a decision like that can be brought forward almost now. Is a de facto going to happen, because there's a choice of three options, when, to be honest, residents across the city haven't been given a chance to be consulted.
This does often happen with consultations, doesn't it? You get given several options, and actually you feel like saying, well, actually none of the above are going to work at all. So maybe the whole consultation process is a little bit of a PR thing. But anyway, let's hear now from Joanna. And I spoke to her earlier this week about this proposed Western Harbour development. So how accountable do you think Marvin has been compared to George Ferguson and previous administration?
Well, I don't think that we even know. I don't know who he's accountable to. For example, we live on the... I'm also part of the Cumberland Basin Stakeholder Group, and the current
Is that around Hot Wells area?
That's around Hot Wells, yes. Yeah. So we're about to have a consultation come up at the end of August and September about huge redevelopments of the Western Harbour. Now, we didn't even know that the Cumberland Basin's name had changed to the Western Harbour until the Bristol investment brochure was leaked on one of Marvin's trips to, I think it was Malaysia. And then we found out about how it was being promoted as having 3,500 homes, that it was worth investment of over £1 billion, and that it was all going to be redeveloped. Now, the council, this was in 2017, in September. In January 2018, the report was commissioned with ARIP for £50,000 on options of how the area would look. There was going to be three options going out to consultation the years ahead. So this is 18 months ago now. In February 2018, the local plan went out for consultation, for comments, and we finally got to see which area specifically and what they were going to do to it was involved in the Western Harbour. In March 2019, another local plan consultation went out and the area had increased. Now, the Western Harbour not only was north of the floating harbour, it was including Cumberland Basin South, below it, south. And at that point, the housing was reduced down to 2,500 plus 500 homes for homes to fit 500 students, and the options still weren't available. So we didn't know what was going to happen there, even while the consultation was closing in April 2019, about what residents could do or what residents could say, for example. So those options were leaked, not leaked, they were shown to the BBC on the weekend, I guess. So on Monday, they were reported by BBC Radio Bristol, and we finally got to hear about three options: the eastern option, western option, hybrid option. And before that, some residents had been trying to find out, the first thing that was reported about what was going to happen was an interview with Kevin Slocum, Colin Moulton, and I believe Marvin Rees that was in Bristol 24/7. That was this year, January 2019, after the trips, you know, to Malaysia investment brochure. At that point, we found out a little more about it and how they were going to take down the system around the Cumberland Basin and the traffic, the road system. So up till now, we still haven't seen the report by Arup. Our councillor hadn't heard anything about it until January 2019 when Bristol 24/7 wrote about it. And we don't know what the other options are apart from these three that are going out to consultation and were told to the BBC.
But I mean, isn't this just the way that things work nowadays? That if you want to get lots of development done, houses built, the best thing is just to talk straight to the developers. And actually, sometimes the local councillors can just be getting in the way.
They seem to be getting in the way. I mean, Mark Wright, the Hot Wells and Harbourside councillor, said that he finds it utterly remarkable that they're acting like this, that the report has not been released. He said in 12 years of being a councillor, he has not seen administration hide. I mean, he finally got a chance to see it about a month ago. Not the report. He couldn't take it away. He was shown into a room where there was a presentation on the wall or on some kind of screen or monitor, and he could take notes. And that was really the first time we saw detail.
But, I mean, surely this is how these developments are done nowadays. It's just the way it's done nowadays. And the council is, and Marvin Rees particularly, is saying, well, look, I'm doing these deals directly with the developers. And isn't that why we elected a mayor, to get these deals done?
I think there still needs to be scrutiny and accountability. I mean, I don't understand how people's lives can be affected to such an extent without some kind of scrutiny. There are homes that are going to be demolished in the newly named Western Harbour, but we don't know which ones. We don't know what's going to happen at all. And no one is releasing information. Is that how things happen these days? I mean, I find it astounding, personally.
So that's Joe in a booth there, speaking to me earlier this week. Jeff, this is massively affects people right on their doorsteps. Some houses being demolished, and yet people aren't really being informed as to what the proposals are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is where there is too much power. Too much power. And as was said there, not enough scrutiny. There is no ability to check and the balance of what is happening. And we will be presented, I suspect, with a final deal.
I mean, over the years, we've come to expect there's some sort of balance between the needs and the interests of local people and the needs and the interests of the developers and their shareholders wanting to make money out of building things. It does seem as if maybe the balance has swung to... It's a field day for developers now.
It appears that way, and you know, I was slightly surprised to hear you almost sticking up for the developers in your interview, because actually the role of council and councillors is to look after your existing residents as well as be catering for and planning for future residents, and at the moment the balance has gone too far the wrong way, and it's not acceptable. You know, perhaps you should invite Mark Wright to come along and talk about it in more detail, because he knows the situation, but he's a good ward councillor. He would be there trying to represent and communicate with his residents, and he doesn't know what to tell them because he's not been informed. That is not acceptable.
Martin Summers, we've had this Western Harbour development on the cards now for the last 18 months, 2 years or so, and people still are not aware whether their bulldozers are going to come and demolish their houses or not.
Well, I think the points have been made that the balance of power between developers and local authorities has always been too far in favour of the developers. And, of course, the whole thing of having elected mayors was that they were going to get things done, like the arena, for example, which had been hanging around for years. And the idea of having elected mayors, and, of course, George Ferguson bought into this, and Marvin Rees has also bought into the same thing. And, of course, the powers of mayors are enormous. They can ignore local councillors, they can ignore local people, they can set up a completely separate structure answerable only to them. That was designed in the design of elected mayors. Ken Livingstone in London has always been opposed to elected mayors. He did most of the good work he did in the 1980s. He did as the leader of the Labour group, leading the council as council leader and answerable to his his group. The whole thing of having mayors, as Anne said, it comes from America. It was a back of the envelope idea jotted down by David Cameron, and of course we also copied this stupid idea of electing police chiefs, apart from in Northern Ireland where it turned into a bloodbath, and we copy lots of stupid things from America, including elected mayors, and that's why we're in a mess.
Can I just make one point that is really fundamental to this? If the council is procuring a service or procuring house building, it has to go through all the proper tendering processes. If it appoints a developer, it doesn't. And that's an issue that perhaps you might like to develop in the weeks and months ahead.
Yes, that's an interesting point.
Because it removes all the controls and the balances.
Yeah, well, ultimately, we're running to a situation where local authorities don't do anything much. That's where we're going, and we've been going there since the 1980s.
Anne, what do you think of that?
First of all, again, I've hardly heard what the others have said, and again, I don't know the detail of this particular local issue, and without knowing the detail of it, I don't particularly want to pontificate away. But what I would say is that a good mayor, a mayor even having powers, will at least explain and consult about what he's doing. And so I think it's rather a pity if local councillors think they've been ignored completely. But what I don't know is whether they have had the opportunity to make all those representations, but have merely found that they're rejected.
Yes, it may be also that the developers are really happy to have a cooperative mayor because the local council is able to give them planning permission. The council, if it becomes a council policy, is much more likely to give planning permission, which can turn a field or a park, which is worth virtually nothing to a developer, into something which is worth millions and millions of pounds an acre just by giving them planning permission.